your hand that guides us. It's your breath that lifts us up, God. It's the power of your breath in our lives, your Spirit speaking to us, moving within us, God, Lord. God, Lord, right now, God, Lord, we come before you, God, Lord, just to seek your face, God, and to glorify your name because you're great, God. Let there be a praise within us, God. Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight, this night, God, Lord, I pray to God, Lord, you quicken us as your body. I pray to God, Lord, that you cause us to arise, God. I pray to God, Lord, that we put behind the things in the past, we move forward in all that you have in the greatness of your name, God. That the only thing that we see is great is our God. That there be a praise that rises up from the depths within us. Great is our God and greatly to be praised. Great is our God. Lord, we glorify your name. We praise you. And we thank you. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight, God. Let our hearts be open, God, that we might receive the word that you want to speak to us tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Family Worship Center. I'm going to see if I can get my... Oh, I got a water right here. Hallelujah. Just got to make sure I got everything. Hallelujah. Get caught up in worship. I hope that you were ministered to. I hope that you were ministering to the Father, blessing His name for how great He is. He is truly great. Hallelujah. He's merciful. Everything that we need is in Him. Everything that we need is in Him. I pray today, I ask tonight, I just ask each one of you to just take hold of God's Word. And if you don't know Him as your Savior, I want you to welcome Him in your heart. I want you to just receive Him. Receive this Word into your heart. He wants to know you. He wants you to experience His greatness and who He is. And He loves you. And He cares for you. Each one of you. I'm just glad you're here tonight. Amen. Thank you, Brother Dan. This has really been in my heart today. In the past couple days, is I really feel that God is really speaking to our hearts, and I believe that God's speaking to His church. I believe that really feel that in my spirit, I really feel that there's something rising up within the midst of His people, that this becomes an opportunity in the midst of chaos, that God always uses these chaos and moments, circumstances to be glorified. Amen. Every time that when we seek His face, that we find Him. The Word of God says, it says that as we seek Him, you shall find Him. I want you to say that tonight. If I seek Him, I will find Him. Hallelujah. It's not like He's hiding that He can't be found, but sometimes God hides so that you look for Him. Amen. And you begin to look for Him with all of your heart, and you become thirsty. I want you to hear that I believe that God's people are thirsty, and sometimes there's something within us that we're not sure what we even need, but it's Jesus. Hallelujah. He wants to fill us up. He wants to fill every space, every cavity, every place that has been vacant from His touch in our lives, that He wants to touch us. He wants to minister to every one of us in every area of our lives. And sometimes God separates us. He takes us out of the midst of our chaos that we've been in, the system of the world, how that we just every single day, it's time after time, I've been saying this, that 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, well, guess what? We've lost that. Now we have to be separated from all that stuff, and now it's opportunity for God that we begin to let God speak into our lives. I think it's powerful. And I just ask and I just pray that every one of us uses the opportunity to find God in the midst of everything that we go through and see Him high and lifted up. That's been on our heart, and that's what we've been declaring. But I just want you to see this in Revelation. It says, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. I believe in this situation, I believe that where we're at right now, that this can become a testimony. This can become a revelation of who He is in my life. That we take that opportunity to see Him for who He really is to us. That God wants you to see Him. Sometimes we get in a corporate setting, and sometimes we just get caught in the midst of the whole thing. But now I want you to know that I feel that God has separated us to show Him who He is to you. I really believe that when we come out of the midst of this whole thing, that when we come together, every one of you are strings, hallelujah, individual strings, but when we gather back together, I feel it in my spirit, I believe that we're going to create a mighty river, an overflow, hallelujah, that God's working in people's lives right now, on every one of us in our own individual homes. He's speaking to our hearts. Because I want you to know that Jesus says to go out into the world, but before He even said that, He spoke to His disciples, and He said, go to Judea, Samaria, and the outer parts of most of the world, the first place was Judea. It was where they lived. It was that place where they lived, that in their homes, that God wants you to experience Him there first. Amen. Before we ever go out into the world, God wants to reveal Himself in a powerful way to you in your homes. And right where you're in your confinements of where you live, God wants to get to know you and for you to know Him in a powerful way. And that word says that by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, that I have a testimony. I want you to know that what God did in my life, He gave me a testimony by what He did at the cross. That He gave me a testimony and I overcome because why? He gave me the testimony that I can overcome whatever comes my way. That's my testimony, the powerful, His word working in my life. He gives me a testimony that everything, that I want to walk out of this experience with a testimony, with a revelation of who He is in my life. I said this Wednesday night, I said that when you get your revelation that it's what you bought it, that you don't borrow. Sometimes we borrow things from other people, truths from somebody else. But when you take hold of it for yourself, it's yours. Nobody can ever take it from you. You bought it. You grabbed it. It's yours. Amen. And I just want to share that my wife opened this up and she said that you're your greatest prophet. I want you to hear that. I really feel that in my spirit. I really understand. I know that I am my greatest prophet. That when things are rough, that I, like David, he went to that place where he began to inquire of the Lord. He began to prophesy over his life and let God speak into his heart. And that word that was birthed within him, that you shall recover all. It came from him seeking God. Seeking a word from God. And to begin to declare that word over his life. You could be your best prophet or your worst prophet. More than anybody else, when you begin to speak life into your life. When you begin to speak the word of God into your life. The Bible says this. It says, and this is what Moses said in Numbers 11:24. It says, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. And that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them. That is God's heart. That everybody would prophesy. That you would speak over the environment you're in. I want you to know that we are kings and priests and prophets unto God. That we are to receive that word that God has for us individually, and we begin to speak it over our own environment in Judea and Samaria, before the outermost posts of the world, that we need to speak it in our environment. We need to declare it over our lives and over our situations and over our families. We need to declare it. We need to speak the word of God. We need to speak life into one another. The Bible says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's in our mouth. The Bible says that even in confession is made unto salvation. And with my heart, I believe. So there's confession unto salvation. That I speak the word of God over my life and over that environment. It begins to change things. It begins to awaken things. It causes things to arise. When the breath of God begins to speak into dry bones. Into an environment that's been dry. But when God's word speaks in there, the power of God, the power of God's Spirit moves in the midst of that. It begins to shake things and move things, cause things that were dead to begin to get up. It causes those that things that have been dead, that you feel that you that there's no hope in the midst of it. But when the resurrection power, Jesus Christ, stands in your midst, He will speak and say, Lazarus, arise, come out of that dry place. There's sometimes dry places and we need to speak that word over our lives. Sometimes we're waiting for somebody else. We're looking to see what somebody says about this situation. What are other people saying about this? But I want you to know the most powerful thing that you'll get out of this is what God's saying to you. What is God speaking to my heart in the midst of this? How is He showing me? I want to walk on the other side and see God high and lifted up. I want to be at a place stronger than I've ever been before. Greater. In the midst of whatever we go through. I'm going to give you a word of encouragement too. That God knows how this ends. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows how the story ends. And I'm in His hand. That's the one that I need to be in communication with. The one I need to be hearing from. That I have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to me. What's God saying to me right now? I want you to hear this tonight. And the Bible says that to prophesy, and sometimes there is the office of a prophet, one that speaks to a corporate environment, speaks of people's lives, and gives people a word in seasons. But there's a prophetic word that we're to all have, like Moses said, that for everybody to prophesy over their own lives. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:3, and it says that we are called to edify, exhort, and to comfort. That's prophetic words. I want you to see how powerful that is. It seems so simple, but I want you to see this and understand this, that we are called, that we have the Spirit of God within us to speak, to edify, to exhort, and to comfort, to stir up, hallelujah, to build up, and to cheer up. I always say it that way, to build up, stir up, and cheer up. Those that are in the midst of our surroundings, those that are in the midst of where we are, those speaking to their lives, to build them up, to stir them up, and cheer them up. Even in this moment right now, that we begin to learn to do that, to speak, because you can fall, you can get to a place in your lives where that, because you're out of that rhythm, that you can feel that you're lost, or feel like, man, I don't know what's going on, I'm this. So you need to speak that life. You need to build one another up. You need to encourage. You need to speak. You need to edify. You need to comfort. Speak words of peace to one another. Calm the storms in our lives, over your own life. Let God's Word begin to move you and quicken your hearts. Amen. And it says, this is Isaiah, we know this, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants His Word to rise up within us. So many of us Christians would sit and we hear the Word of God. It is the Word of God being spoken into our lives. So many words that we've heard from God, that we've taken into our lives, that we hear week after week, sermon after sermon. I want you to know that God does not He does not cast His seed sparingly. He casts it no matter where. Amen? He puts it no matter whether or not we're at a place where we want to hear it or not, because it says that some of the rocks, He says that it got lost in that. But I want you to know He keeps casting it. He keeps saying, you hear me? Do you desire to hear? He wants to give us a word. He wants to lift us up. He wants to encourage us. He wants us to strengthen every single day as mercies are new. That in that environment, God says, I want to speak into your life. What's God saying to me today? What's God saying to me right now? God, what do you want to say to me right now in this moment in my life? And begin to hear that. The Bible says, I believe, therefore I speak. It's powerful that we speak into our environments, in the environment that is around us. I began to look at Jesus and see that when Jesus, he stepped into to the scene when he went to church, and when he walked into church, he began to speak to his environment. He began to speak around. He began to declare who he was and what was within him. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. He says, to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, and to set to liberty to them that are bruised. Wow. To set them that have been bruised, those that have been broken. He took it personally. He says, the Spirit of God is upon me. I want you to hear this and know that we need to take hold of God's Word personally for my life. I need to take that Word and apply it to my life personally. Amen? Because that's where the power comes. That's where the power begins to move in our life. When we begin to apply it and say, this is my Word, that I stand upon this work. Amen? This is the Word that I'm buying, that I'm taking a hold of. I'm going to grab hold of it and I'm going to let it begin to root down deep within me, that the Spirit of God, that I say it with confidence, is upon me. The Spirit of God is upon me. That He's quickened me. The power of God wants to move in my life every single day. He wants to move in my environment. He wants to use you to speak to your children, to those that are around you. He wants to use you to speak to the conditions that we're facing right now. That if we as a church begin to prophesy over these things, hallelujah, and we begin to take hold of them, we begin to come individually as rivers, and we begin to declare together, we become a mighty river that overtakes like a flood, begins to overtake our enemy, begins to overwhelm them. I believe that God's doing that. Amen. That it's time for us to arise. That gross darkness around us, but the Spirit of God wants to arise up within us. He wants to move in us. Hallelujah. He wants to habitate us. He wants to take and begin to change that environment. So Jesus, He's here, and we begin to see this, how that Jesus, He spoke this word. And in Romans 10:8, it says that the Word of God, that we speak it. Now, let me jump here first. I get excited. How many know that? I want you to take this. Can you say that? I'm going to take it personal. I'm going to take it personal. Sometimes we take so many things personal, but the one thing that we need to take personal is His Word. This is my Word. This is my Word right now. I really feel that God wants to give you right here, right now, a Word. I want you to know that God revealed Himself to me when I was running from Him. I think this is powerful because you don't know what God's doing. You're not sure if God's even listening. You're hiding from Him, and you're not sure that He's even looking. And I was at a place in my life where that I wasn't looking for God. But I'm here to tell you that He's looking for you. In the house that I lived in on Pulaski Road, to my right, a preacher lived in the house beside me. To my left was a church. And in my house was a preacher. That no more where I went, as much as I tried to hide, I couldn't hide from him. He was looking for me. He wanted to invade my space. He wanted to show me how much he loved me and what I mean to him. So I want you to see this, that Jesus, he says, that I want you to have an acceptable word. I want you to preach this word. I want you to declare it. And he took it personal, that we are to take this word personal. And the Bible says, the works that I do, you shall do also. Greater works will you do. See, that's what he declared. And either we take that personal, or we say that, you know what, that's for the pastor, or that's for the elders, or that's for the praise team. But I want you to know that God wants you to know that. This guy that was a drug addict, he wanted to reveal himself. Jesus wanted to reveal himself to me. This drug addict that was lost and didn't have any hope, he wanted to reveal himself to me, to show me that that he has something for me. And I needed to take it personal in my life. So as Jesus, he began to speak this word, and all those who were there, they were kind of astonished at this word that he was speaking. And then it says that Jesus, he went over after he was done, he took the word and he shut the book. He closed it. And that speaks so much to me that here's what he did. He sat there and he sat down. He took that word and he shut it. And to me, I'm thinking that sometimes that God gives us a word and the enemy will come and try to distract us. We need to just shut the book. And we need to say, God, you said it, I believe it, and just shut the book. We're not going to argue with him. We're not going to disagree with him. So many times in our lives that God tells us he loves us. So many times that we hear that revelation, that's the greatest revelation that I got. The first understanding of God that I had was Jesus loves me. And when I took it and I bought it, I took hold of it in my life. It changed my life. It changed me forever. That one revelation. And God continually revealed himself to me one time after another, that God wants to do that in your life. And I can't argue with God's word. God says, you're going to be a preacher. No, I'm not. And guess what? Here I am right now. A prophetic word revealed. God said it. And I need to shut the book and believe it. We need to take hold of it and let it be confirmed in our hearts. So many times we disagree with God. We disagree with what he says, his word. And he said unto them, yea, surely, he says, let me jump down here. And he says, and they said, is this not? Let me see. He says, yea, verse 22. And he says, and all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said to themselves, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son? Just Joseph's son. Isn't this the guy who is just the carpenter? See, this is what I mean that we need to shut the book. Because so many times we begin to think in our minds that, I'm just this. I'm just a bus driver. I'm just a bricklayer. I'm just a cashier. And sometimes we say that in our lives. We say, I'm just this. And the enemy will try to cause us to disagree with what God says about that. That I'm a king and I'm a priest and a prophet unto God. That God has a specific word in my life that he wants me to declare. In the environment that I am, he has given me authority to speak life into those that are around me, into my own life, and power to take hold of that environment. He's given us authority to declare his word, power to declare and decree his word. And it says, and he said to them, yea, he says, surely you say unto me that the proverb, physician, heal thyself, and whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also here. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. I really think that's powerful because, see, he said that no prophet is accepted in his own country. Man, I want you to know that sometimes that we disagree with God and we don't shut the book, that we stand there and begin to argue with that word, not believing that word. And I am a prophet. Sometimes we reject the prophet in our own country and where we are. we reject that word that God gives us. That I'm not just this. I'm more than that. I have the Spirit of God upon me. I'm not just this. I'm not just a former drug addict. I'm not just this, a former alcoholic. I'm not just this. I'm not just this person that was born in this small town. I'm more than, because the Spirit of the God, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm not just the shepherd. I want you to know that David made it personal. He said that I'm not just the shepherd, hallelujah, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I want you to understand that David was able to walk in faith because he took hold of and believed what God said about him. He began to take it personal. He began to apply it in his life and believe faith upon faith. He began to make it practical. He began to walk in what God said in that moment at that time. God wants to do that in our lives right now. He wants us to walk out what He's saying to us today. Sometimes we wonder why. Maybe God just wants us to walk in what He said to us in that moment. We're waiting for God to say something else. Well, you know what, God? Listen, I'm not sure about that, but maybe this. It doesn't work that way. God wants you to walk because the word that He's given you is enough. The word that He's given you is powerful. It's mighty. So He says that we're not that prophet in our own homes, in our own lives. That we don't agree with that prophet. No prophet is welcome in his own country. Your prophet unto God to speak into your life. Let's take a look at this. And I began to think about this. This in 1 Kings 17. And I began to think about how that here's this woman that sometimes we think that we're just this or we're just that. And in 1 Kings 17, 8, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," this is unto Elisha, "and he said, arise and get thee to Zarephath." I want you to know that word right there that he said, arise and go to Zarephath. That's the word that God gave him, and it was time just to move. Just close the book, agree with it, and go with it. When God speaks to us, His word always causes us to rise. And when you take hold of that word, it causes you to move forward. God's always moving. God's always doing something that we got to trust God. Sometimes it's a place where it's just stepping out in faith that, oh God, what's going to take place? What's going to happen here? We want to know what's this going to happen, but we need to walk in the word that God gave you today. Amen. And he says, get to Zarephath. He says, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Man, I want you to hear this, that God's got something in you. God was working in me and God had a word for me. God was declaring something in my life when I was still a drug addict. Hallelujah. That when I wasn't looking for Him, God commanded a word. Hallelujah. And there was a word spoken about me that I didn't even know about. There was something spoken about this woman. She was looking. She was hungry. There was something within her. She was longing for something more. And he told Elijah, I've commanded this woman to sustain you. This is a widow woman. Hallelujah. She was in the midst of a devastating situation. Death was all around them. They were in the midst of famine. And he says, I want you to go to her. See, I want you to know that sometimes you might not think you have anything, but I want you to know that God's thinking about you. That God's got what you need. That when we connect with God's Word, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we begin to take hold of what God said to you in heaven, imply it in the earth, and begin to walk it out. And this is what happened when heaven connected with earth. With by faith, she believed what God said about her. And so she went there, he went there, and as he got there, he stepped onto the scene. He says, and I want you to think about this. He says that she's going to sustain you. That what she has in her is enough. And it was a word that God spoke about her. What God has spoken about you is enough. The word of God in your life is enough. It's an incorruptible seed. Hallelujah. It's powerful. It's mighty. The Spirit of God, we let it arise within our lives. And he says, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray, a little water in a vessel. God always works in small doses. He doesn't always overwhelm us, but he gives us a little bit. He says, I ask you this. He says, to go and get me a little water. Get me a little water first. A little bit first. That God will speak in your heart. I want you to hear this, that in these moments right now, that God wants to give you a word in this moment right now. And God's going to add to it tomorrow. And every day that you begin to apply it, begin to take hold of your life, begin to speak it in that environment, begin to cast that seed, take that in your heart, begin to declare it wherever you are. And it says, and he says, I give you a little bit of water. He says, give me a little bit of water. He says, that I might drink. And as she was going, he just wanted to see what was you. I want you to know, sometimes God will speak something in your heart and just see what you do with it first. Sometimes it's those things that you may think, that isn't that hard, and I think I could do that. Just do it first. And it gives God opportunity to do something else. Begin to work within your life. Just with that small thing. Sometimes it's those things that it's just being nice to your wife. It's prophesying over your family. It's speaking life into them. It's those little things that are so powerful. Sometimes we want God to do amazing things, but we're not willing to prophesy over those around our lives. We want to go into the world, but God said, I want you to know me here. I want you to be able to speak into the lives of your family, to your wife, to your husband, to your children. I want you to have a word. I want to preach to the world, God, but I want you to have a word first to preach to your children. Have a word, season, and out of season, to give them life, to speak into their hearts. So he gave them that first. He began to speak into her. And he says, and so she went and she says, and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread. Just a morsel, just a little bit. He says, in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil of cruse. Can you say a little? Sometimes we feel like we're little. But I want you to understand that when God's word, when heaven touches earth, when we begin to believe by faith, that we begin to take hold of what the Word of God has declared into our life, that something's ignited. Something began to work in her at that moment, at that time. And that word was to her. He says, bake me. She says, but I just have a little bit. You might feel like you just have a little bit. I want you to know that it's enough with God. It's more than enough with God. That what you have is enough. And he says, and Elijah said to him, he says, fear not. Oh, yeah, no, let me jump back. He says, and he gathered a few sticks. Oh, she was getting a few sticks. And he says, that I might go and dress it for me and my son, that we might eat it and die. That was the word that she was declaring, that we might eat it and die. But Elijah said to her, he said, well, go ahead. He says, go ahead and do that. But before you do that, try this. He says, go and do as thou hast said. Go ahead. But make me first a cake and bring it to me. And after, make it for me and make some for you and your son. For thus saith the Lord God. Here's where the word comes in. When heaven meets his earth. When we let it become the heart that I believe in my heart and take hold of it. He says, He saith the Lord of God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and she did according to the word, and it lasted many days. Here's our choice that he says, I want you to take my word that I've given to you. She could have ran away. She could have said, no, I'm not going to give you that. She could have not taken that first moment, received it, but she just took hold of it. She goes, there's something more. And she believed it. I want you to know that God wants us to get to a place where that we just believe what he says and walk in it. Sometimes we wonder why we don't have what we need. I want you to know that God wants us to walk in what the word that he's given to us, and we have more than enough. Sometimes we don't see the way God sees. We just need to trust him for who he is and believe what he says and shut the book and believe what he says about us, what he says to us, and nothing else. My last thought took place in, it says in Psalms 137. It says, this is in Psalms 130, it says, this, by the rivers of Babylon speak of confusion. There we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. All they had was a memory, but God wants you to have a reality. See, I want you to hear and know that sometimes there's things that God did to us yesterday, but God wants us not to walk in a memory of who He is, but God wants us to walk in the reality of who He is, the truth of it today, the understanding of who He is right now. That's what gives us life, that He's the God of the now, this moment right here, right now, that we believe it in our hearts. And it says that as they were in captivity, He says that they were held there. He says, and they began to weep. And they hanged their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. He says, for they were carried away and captive. They were held captive and required us. They required us to sing a song. Man, this is powerful because He says to them that they were held in this captivity for 70 years. These are the people of God. And man, I tell you what, you could feel like that God's not with you. You could feel like, man, that everything feels like it's against you. And you could begin to think that. But God wants us to take His word and say, believe in our hearts of who He is in our lives. And at that moment, they had a choice. And all these ones, they began to, He says, listen, we want you to sing a song. Just like the enemy wants to say to us now, now you sing. Come on, what do you have to say now? Do you have any praise in your mouth? When things go wrong, that the enemy will try to challenge us, say, what are you going to say now? Come on, you're just little. Come on, you don't have enough. Or you're not good enough. Or you just have a couple sticks. You have nothing else even to rub together. But God says, listen, I want you to know you're more than just that. Hallelujah. When you have the Word of God that's incorruptible, the power of God in your life, hallelujah, there's nothing greater. There's nothing that can come that can overtake that. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony I will overcome. So I got a testimony. I have a word from God that says I'm more than able. Hallelujah. That I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. That by Him, by what He did for me at the cross, gives me strength and has forgiven me. That I can walk in reality in the truth of who He is today. Not just a memory, but right now that God wants me to walk in. So here they are. And in the midst of this, they were depressed inside. But there was somebody else. I want you to see this because there was somebody else and we could see it in Ezekiel. I want you to jump there with me. Ezekiel. Because everybody else was mourning and they were crying and they hang their harps and their worship music and they began to sit it hanging on the trees and they were overwhelmed with what was going on. All they seen themselves as in captivity. But in the midst of that, God's looking for somebody to stand up. Hallelujah. God's looking for somebody to see what He has to say. I want you to know that we've heard everything else out there, all the negative things, all these different things. But what do I choose for my life? This is what was spoken to Joshua. That Joshua says, you know what? He says that you might try to decide whatever you want to do, whether or not you're going to serve God or you're not going to serve. But as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. That there's a declaration. That's taking it personal. That's taking it and saying, that's my word that I'm going to take it into my life. And there was somebody in the midst of this captivity for 70 years. I don't know whether he was born into it or he must have been born into it in the midst of this thing. But he chose to see it a different way. And the Bible says that he was standing by the river. And he says, and I think it's powerful because he says, now in the 30th year, that's the same time that Jesus stood up and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So when he was 30 years old, Ezekiel began to declare a word. He says, among the captives by the river, the others were saying, they were mourning, crying, weeping. But Elijah stood up by the river and he says that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. I saw visions of God. One was weeping, and they seen this thing hopeless. They felt that they were in captivity. But Ezekiel said, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. He's seen Him upon the throne. That's the way he chose to see things. That's what he believed. He closed the book and believed what God said. That you're not just going to stay in captivity, but you're going to rise up. And the way that he rose up is chose what he's seen. In that moment where he was at, what everybody else saw, he seen differently. And the Bible says that, and the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. It came personally to him that he took it. The word was available to everybody, but what did he do with it? He took it personally. He applied it in his life. And he says, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him with power. In that moment. See, I want you to know that when you begin to choose to see what God sees and believe what God sees, that His hand will begin to move you in power. Begin to work in your life in power. We begin to see the reality and the fruits of it as we walk in the Spirit in our families. That no matter what, we begin to keep speaking it over and over over our lives. And we shut the book, believe it, and sit down. I'm not going to stand up and argue, but I'm going to agree with what You say about me, God. Nothing else. Nothing else matters. As I finish, I just want to share a story. The guy, his name was Reinhard Bonnke. And this is a powerful story because this was a man that was a preacher. All he thought was he just wanted to do his little thing, preach in Africa and just share what he had. And he felt a heart to minister to people. Sometimes you think what you have is small, but God's got something in mind greater than what you've imagined. So as he went there, he says that he got there. And when he got there, he says he began to preach. And he had a little tiny church, a little small church. And he said that it was a no miracle zone. Well, no miracles, nothing happened. Nothing was going on. People were in the church, but nothing was really happening. And he came to his mind, he began to think, man, he heard that there was a prophet, there was a man of God, a miracle worker that was in South Africa. He said, man, if I go there and get him, I'm going to bring him to my church. And if he comes to my church, we're going to see miracles. As I watch him come into our church, I'm going to watch what he does. And I'm going to let God, see God be glorified in the midst of it. So he went to South Africa. He asked him, he said, will you come to our church for a couple days, for 2 days? And surprisingly, he says, yeah, I'll come. So he went to his church. And when he got there, he said that first night that he got up on the pulpit. And as he got up there, he began to preach. And he preached for 10, maybe 15 minutes. And then he stopped and he called him to come up. He said, could you come here? And when he came up, he says, go ahead and end the service. I'm not going to end the service. Are you kidding me? He says, yeah, no. End the service. He says, I'm done. The only way I'm going to end the service is if you promise me you'll be back tomorrow to pray for miracles for these people. To lay hands on the sick. And he says, okay. So he leaves. The next day he begins to drive by. And when he drove past his church to go to get this man, the church, there was double the people that were there before. The cripples were coming out of the mountains. Those that were broken, those that were hurt, the blind. And they came and they filled the church. He was so excited because when he got there, he got to the hotel. And when he looked, the prophet, the man of God, was packing up his car and he was getting ready to leave. He says, what are you doing? He says, the Spirit of God began to speak to me and tell me I had to go home for me to go home. He says, no, he didn't tell you that. There's no way that God told you to leave. He says, yes, he did. He says, I'm sorry, but I have to leave. So he drove away. And at that moment, something began to rise up in him. It was the Spirit of God. But sometimes that he pushed behind because he was waiting for someone else to do what God called him to do. So he got in that car. When he got in that car, he felt God. And he began to cry out to God. He said, God, Lord, I'm not this great miracle worker, but I am Your servant. And God, I'll preach Your word and I'll lay hands on the sick and You do the miracles. I'll open my mouth. So he got back, and when he got back to the church, all his other preachers came out to him. He says, oh my goodness, where's the preacher? He says, I got good news and bad news. He said, what's the bad news, they said. He says, the preacher is gone. We said, well, what's the good news? He says, Jesus didn't leave. He's here with us. It became a revelation within him. I know he was scared. He was afraid and worried in a way that, man, he says, man, I've never spoke out like this. I've never done this before. But God, I believe You. And so he got up there. And when he got up behind the pulpit, all of a sudden he began to stand there. And at the moment he began to open his mouth, the Spirit of God spoke to him this. He says, as You speak My words, it's as if they're My words in My mouth. And that's powerful. And something began to rise up in him, and he began to preach, and God began to move in miraculous ways. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He says, I want you to pray for those, ask if there's anybody blind. And 4 people stood up when he asked it. And he looked, and they were all the way in the back. And I want you to hear this, because at that moment, see, every one of these things was just little. It's like God saying, just give me a little bit of water first and see what our response is. Sometimes God puts us things before us to see what we do. And at that moment, he began to say that. He asked if there was anybody here. And immediately, he says, I want you to lay hands on, declare that they see in Jesus' name. And as soon as he's ready to say that, he felt the enemy speak to his heart and his mind and say, what if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work? And he said that he opened his mouth and the Spirit of God spoke to him that you don't have to defend a lion. You just got to open the gate and roar because the lion of the tribe of Judah is within you. The power of God's within you. And he began to speak like he's never spoken. And he began to declare that the blind have sight in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, one jumped up and he says, I can see, I can see. And one by one, and immediately as the Holy Spirit broke out, giving God the opportunity because somebody opened their mouth, then every one of those people, one by one, began to get healed. And the most powerful one was this. Was there was a woman that came and she had a baby and it was so crowded and God was moving in the midst of it. I want you to know the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, He brings healing. The Spirit of God brings healing in the midst. If we let Him move, we begin to let God move. And it says, and as they were in that place and they were worshiping and God was healing people and the Spirit of God was just moving on people because somebody opened their mouth in faith and believed that cruise didn't run empty. It was more than enough. Hallelujah. The Bible says that out of your belly will flow rivers of living life. Open your mouth. But it doesn't happen until we open our mouth, until we speak it. And it starts at home. But he felt out of place. He felt awkward. Insecure. But it doesn't matter. I'm just going to open my mouth. It doesn't matter. God says that you're not the one. It's not your responsibility to do the miracle. It's mine. You just have to pray it and declare it. So as this, he's praying, he's watching, and he's watching this whole thing unfold before him. And here comes this baby, and it's lifted up above the whole crowd. And the baby was coming. They were carrying the baby because they couldn't get in front of it. They weren't able to get to him. So they passed this baby. And as he watched this baby come towards him, it was unbelievable because this baby was so crippled. It looked like spaghetti and his legs and his arms were twisted and turned. And it was just a little baby, 3 or 4 years old. And every part of his body, every bone that was crooked and displaced. And as he watched it come, that they took the baby and they handed the baby to him. And he's standing there. He says that, man, he began to watch what was happening. He says he forgot to pray. He says because the power of God was so powerful. He says, and as he began to watch, something happened and something began to crack. He began to hear the bones begin to come together. Hallelujah. Just because he opened his mouth. He lifted up his voice in that moment. Hallelujah. He says, arise and shine for your light had come. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord is upon you. If you open your mouth, you begin to speak in your environment and watch what God does. And that baby, as it began to shake and began to move in his body, he says that he dropped the baby. And it says, and before the baby hit the ground, it began to run across the stage, healed in complete health. He was overwhelmed by this. And when it was all ended, he stood back, tears running down his eyes. And he said, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me for not letting you work in my life. For not believing, for disagreeing with how great you are and how mighty you are, and not looking at how weak I was, but looking at how strong you are. I want you to know that we can look at our environment, everything around us, and see how bad it is, but we can look and see how great God is, how mighty He is. And let Him, give Him opportunity to speak into our life, His Word. That's incorruptible to everything around us. Watch what God does. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God. Lord, that we begin to prophesy over our lives. Lord, that you declare to God, Lord, that we prophesy, that we speak words of edification, hallelujah, that we exhort, that we comfort, that we speak those words over our own lives, God. Before we're able to ever speak it above anybody else to God, Lord, we need to learn to speak it to ourselves. Hallelujah. that we find strength in Your Word for ourselves, God. But in the midst of that, we begin to be overflowed, God. That there's an overflowing in our lives that flows out to those that are around us, God. Begin to touch those in our midst, those that are in our families, things that have been hurting, whether it's finances, whether it's brokenness and hurts and pains, to God, Lord, that You use us in the midst of our tragedies, to God, to speak life, to dry places, God. Let our hearts be open to hear Your Word, God, right now in the midst of this, and watch You do great things. And we glorify Your name. Amen. Kelly, would you come? We just want to share with you something that we really felt that God was speaking to our hearts, that we just understand the power of what communion is. The power of the breaking the bread, the drinking of the wine that speaks of the death and burial and resurrection and the power of His might. It symbolizes that. And the strength that it gives us. That Moses said, he says, I ask you, he says, to take the lamb without blemish. And he says, and sacrifice it in the blood, put it upon the doorpost. That they would put it on the doorpost of their house. And that signifies what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. And the doorpost is our heart, that we place it upon our hearts. Each one of us in our lives. We place it upon our families and our homes. That it's personal. He says that I want you to make this personal. Amen. I want you to make this personal in your life. It's for you. That my death and burial, that you take it personal in your life. And he says, I want you to do this. And he says, and when they went there, he says, they began to eat the lamb. Hallelujah. That speaks of Jesus Christ. That they began to talk and take hold of it for their lives. The death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as they do that, they begin to be filled up. And there was overflow in their lives to go out to their neighbors to bless those. But he says, I want you to take this. So we really, really felt in our hearts that we were going to have communion served. And we got prepackaged communion. The bread, the crackers, the whole thing. The crackers and the wine, the juice. And we were going to distribute it. We're going to do a drive-through communion. We talked to the leadership of our city. And they gave us, and they were just so excited that we were doing this thing. My wife and I will be serving the communion. These are in untouched containers. So you can feel safe. And we want everyone to take this communion and take it home. And at 6:30 we'll have a service and we're going to take it as a body together. But I believe that God's going to work in the midst of this. That it's just a symbol of it. But I want you to know there's power in it. Hallelujah. There's power in this symbol. Understanding of what He did for us in our lives. That I can make it my reality. That with a death angel would pass over. That it would pass over us because what was in the house is the death and burial of Jesus Christ in my life. So we just want you to come. We're going to do it from 4 to 5:30. So I want you to come early. Come line up and get ready. Because I really believe that we're just going to fill this place up. There's going to be worship music. You don't have to get out of your car. You can take it and just take it home. So if you have any questions, we're going to post it online. We're going to have it on our Facebook. Share it. Because it doesn't matter. It's not just for our church. It's for the city. It's for everybody. Just come and just take this communion. It's not about this church. But it's about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's about the body of Christ. It's about who He is and what He did for me. That we make a reality in our lives. Each one of us.
Yes, it's very vital. Be praying. And God just told me too. If you can't get out. If you don't feel you can get out. Prepare something at home. Take a piece of bread or something and have a little piece of bread. And maybe you have some juice at home. And if you don't feel to come out, you can do it at home. Amen. And we will have these packets come next week, the 11th, 4 o'clock to 5:30, lined up. You do not have to get out of your cars. Amen. Just pull up. We'll bring it to you. And you take it home. And at 6:30, we will open up the service and partake together. Amen. And if you can't make it, we will get it to you. So just let us know. Message us. Amen. And if you're not able to go online, you can take communion right then and there. As you pull up, you can take it. We will pray a blessing over you, too. So don't forget that. This is going to bring healing. and life into your bodies, amen. It will bring healing, I feel that, into us, amen, as we partake of the body of Christ, amen, together, hallelujah. We haven't forgot about Easter. The enemy is trying to silence all these churches, all of us up. He cannot do it, church. He cannot silence us. The word that Pastor Chris spoke tonight, Lord, that you are your own prophet. You are your own king and priest, amen. Speak life over yourself, over your family, over your children, over your community, every time you are out, hallelujah. It could be just lifting up God, that you are a good, good God. You are a good Father, hallelujah. You are with us. You will not leave us or forsake us. That is speaking the word of Christ into your life, hallelujah.
Amen, amen. We saw that, we believe that, and we know that. We apply it, and we speak it as we partake it together. So we just thank you for joining us. We bless you, that we are blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah. God bless you. See you next week. We'll be here Monday. We'll be online Monday for a few minute Bible study. So listen to us. Check us out also on Wednesday for our regular service. And then again on Thursday. So you'll hear us. Look for us on Facebook. Amen. God bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.